came up is for sale. It's an LDG AT1000. That's an automatic antenna tuner with a ICOM cable. It was barely used, and he would like $400 for it. Does anyone need any fields? Him up is for sale. He had a Mosley TA-33 tri-band HF beam, and he's going to throw in a 14-element 2-meter beam to go with it, and he gets both beams for $200. Does anyone need any fields? The item we got on the SwapNet book tonight, folks, is for sale. It's a Ubix number 6 version QRP transceiver, a touch screen. He would like $200 for it. Does anyone need any fields? To conclude the reading of the SwapNet book, appreciate all you fine folks stayed around and listened to the reading of the SwapNet book. Those that listed items, we'll run those for a few weeks when you sell these items. If you don't mind, let me know. That way I can keep my book straight on this end. We have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS.
4DOS. Please check in KF4KYI. Kilo Foxtrot 4, Kilo Yankee India. This is Tom in downtown Greenville.
Net control, please check in. Kilo Echo 4, India Papa. This is Brian in Marietta, Georgia. I'll be in and out. Thanks. 73 to everybody on the net.
For DOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, we'd like to say good evening to KF4KYI. Mr. Tom over there in Greenville. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Tom. Tom, hadn't heard you in a while. Hope you're doing well. And KE4IP, Mr. Brian, down there in Marietta, Georgia. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Brian, on Echo Lake. Any others all the way through the alphabet before we start to rag you, call KI4DOS. KI4DOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. I'm going to use net controls prerogative. Go down to Mr. Ray, K4SUG, up there at Traveler's Rest. I'm going to pick him up first if these other folks don't mind. Mr. Ray, what have you and Miss Edie been up to?
Oh, not much, Jerry. Had to do a little shopping today. It's grocery time. So we made the rounds to the grocery stores and bought them out. Picked up a few of the odds and ends. We had to go down and visit the doctor, and nothing serious, just a routine visit, and take care of that. And mostly tried to stay dry, Gary, over.
Understand the staying dry part. It rained pretty good over here off and on today. But I'm glad you were able to go around and get all your needs or most of your needs at the grocery stores. You know, some of them items are, but they're not as hard to find as they used to be. But I tell you, some of the items are still kind of hurting on the shelf a little bit. When you go to the grocery stores, but they're making a real good comeback. You know, everything's kind of settling back down as far as that goes. I'm glad you were able to get that done, and glad you got a good report from the checkup at the doctor's office today. That's always a good thing. You hate going to the doctor, but you love getting them good reports. At least I would, or I do. I don't go as often as Joy would like me to sometimes, but you know how that goes.
Yeah, well, it's been, 2011? It's been over 10 years since I had my heart attack, and they put me on a schedule with various doctors. Everything has come out good so far. I can't complain. I've had some good doctors to take care of me and keep me around in this old world, Gary. So I got a lot to be thankful for, over.
Our doctors take good care of us, and yeah, we'd be a whole lot worse off if we didn't have them. I'll put it that way. But I'm glad you got a good report, and I hope everything continues to go well with you and Edie up there. Did you get out to play with your new toy yesterday while it was sunshining?
Yes, I did. I got out and cut all the grass and got in the mud hole. Had to spend a good little bit of time getting all the mud off of it after I got through over here across the creek. But it was getting kind of high over there, and I had to get over there. That's, well, you know what it is. It's a creek bottom, and it gets wet, and it pretty well stays wet for a while. But the grass still grows, so you either got to put up with it younger, or you got to get mud on the tires over.
Well, you know how we are. We kind of like these young fellas that get a four-wheel drive truck and we'll go out there and sling some mud. We like to get out there and sling mud on with our tractor tires. They're a lot smaller and they're a lot easier to wash off, I would imagine. I don't know. But maybe not. I'm glad you got to get out there and play on your toy a little bit yesterday. I got mine started. I got out there and started, got some weed eating done. It was late in the afternoon, and we had company come in, and I put off all that stuff till another day. So when it dries out, then I'll get out there and see if I can't run over the yard and make it look like somebody lives here.
Coffee anyway. Some years back, it's been a while, but it still kind of hangs in my memory. You remember the old brown mule I had, I know. And neighbor across the street bought him a brand new Chevrolet three-quarter ton, four-wheel drive. He had that thing rigged up for tires big enough for rear tires on a tractor. And his friend came down, and he had a Jeep four-wheel drive. He had his rigged up pretty good, too. They argued over that one. The positive traction was better than the straight wheel. I had a long piece of cable, and I took the old brown mule over there. And now I got up on the bank above the creek bottom. I had a cable long enough to reach down there, too. I didn't get down in the bottom. But me and the old brown mule snaked them two four-wheel drives out, and you ought to have seen the red faces, over.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Ray, I'm going to be honest. I lost a little bit of that transmission. Your audio dropped way down, and then you came back up. But did they get the Jeep and the three-quarter ton Chevrolet four-wheel drive both stuck down there in the creek bottom? You said you pulled them both out, but I imagine they did, right?
They were both down pretty much on the axle, Gary. And I tell you, the old brown mule had to work to get them out. I tell you, they're stuck. But we did get it, and it all worked out all right in the long run. I think somebody got an education on that one, over.
I tell you what, I'd love to have been up there to see that, Ray. I remember the old brown mule, but I can just see you up there on the hill a little bit and with a long cable out there grabbing hold of them people and dragging them out of that mud. I guess that brown mule spun a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. You know, that was a good truck, Gary. I don't know if you remember what it was or not. It was a 60 model GM Chevrolet GMC, sorry about that, 60 model GMC with 305 engine in it. And I modified it. I tried to pull the tractor trailer with it and just about ruined the standard transmission, the three-speed it had in it. I went to the junkyard. I got me a four-speed transmission out of a one-ton Chevrolet, and I got the rear axle out of that same truck. Brought them back home, and I put that one-ton rear axle and that one-ton transmission in that half-ton truck. And we had a going concern there. It works good. It could snake. You put it in first gear at a little fast idle, and started down at the bottom of the hill and just sat in the seat and let it idle right up this hill at the back of the house. And you know what that hill's like.
I had more of a truck with that that transmission and that rear end than a lot of the new ones that come out.
I mean, I hated to let it go, but I had to let it go. And it found a friend. I think it's still running.
Surprised me in the least.
I finished overhauling that engine after I got the transmission to the thing, and I overhauled the engine, and Harry Calloway and his son was going deer hunting, and I wanted to go too. So I finished overhauling that engine and put that silly thing back together, and I fired that thing up and went deer hunting that night, over.
You might use a tired puppy by the end of the day, wasn't you?
Yeah, I don't know where I ever got enough nerve to hit the road with it that quick after an overhaul.
You knew the work was done, right?
Well, I hoped it was, anyhow. Anyway, we had a lot of fun and look back over the years, and a lot of grunts and groans and skin knuckles and all that, but we've had a lot of fun with these old vehicles.
I did, Ray. Well, I think I didn't have this vehicle very long, but I had a 51 Plymouth Flathead 6. And that was really the first car I ever owned. And I told Daddy I was going to go out there and change the spark plugs in it, tune it up. He said, okay. And I got the first five out with no problem, and that back one up there against the firewall broke off. I like to never got that thing out.
I had a 36 Chevrolet that my sister gave me for a graduation present. And the whole engine was pretty well wore out. So Dad went and bought a short block from Montgomery and Ward's. Brought it back out there. The first one they brought out, he sent it back. And the second one they called back, he sent it back. He finally brought one out, and it was Ford standard all the way through. He said that was a keeper. So we went to put that, me and him went to work on it to get the thing put back together. And we've got the old engine out now. Mind you, we didn't have a chain fall. He was on one end of a piece of pipe, and I was on the other end of that piece of pipe with a chain around the engine. That's how we got it out and put the other one in. And I was underneath that car putting the transmission back up when we put it back together. He looked down there and said, now, don't ring it off. About the time he said, pop. He never said a word. He just picked up his tools and walked over to the bench and got him a rag. He wiped his tools off clean and put them back in the toolbox. Turned around and started up the steps. Turned around and looked at me and said, call me when you get it out.
My goodness. That is learning the hard way. That's university hard knocks, ain't it?
That gives you an education. You don't forget things like that.
I can understand that wholeheartedly. But I tell you what, a pretty stout feller, you were too at that point, pulling that engine out like that.
Well, I was a lot stouter than I am now, but you got to bear in mind that was an old 36 model six-cylinder. And we did pull the head off and drop the oil pan and took all that auxiliary stuff off of it. So it wasn't as bad as it sounded over.
You make them cast iron blocks like that anymore.
No, they don't. And it'd be a blessing if they did.
I
better get out of here and let somebody else talk for a while. Enjoyed it, Jerry. Looking forward to a cup of coffee and a rag chew over the fireplace one of these first days. Spring has sped.
He's got here and done left us behind, I guess, but we're still with it. But looking forward to getting up there and visiting with you and Miss Edie and drinking us a cup of coffee one of these days soon. In the meantime, y'all take care of yourself and enjoy your toys, and hopefully I'll get to talk with you again real soon, face to face, and if not, I'll get to talk to you on the radio maybe. But y'all have a good evening, what's left of it. I know you're fixing to go in and get you a cup of coffee. I told Joy, when did I tell her? That Monday, I told her I wish she'd bake me another pound cake. I like having a little snack, you know, when I get off the net, you know, about 10 or 11 o'clock, and have a cup of coffee and a little piece of cake. But she hadn't done it yet, so we'll have to wait and see on that. But y'all take care, have a good evening, and we'll talk to you later. Additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS. Good up, Mr. Al, KI4MLN, down there in Malden. Al, how was your day?
Sir, what's up? I want to have you do me a favor. You hold that guy that's got that 2-meter that they want to pay $5 for. I got mine. He can get it over here. My phone, probably, I don't know if this phone works yet. There's an issue where there's a storm alert knocked it out. Give him a call. See if you bring that thing over here. I got a good antenna all hooked up, ready to go. That's if you bring it over. I'd be glad to pay him for it tomorrow. But I don't know if it's all fine or not. Then we can change that diode. I know how to change it. That other one, but at least I have something fair. Down here with them blowing up the bandy pump.
You started getting off your X just a little bit there at the end there. But Tommy, K4XP, has got that ICOM 2100H 2-meter. I don't know if he's still listening or not, but I'll give him a call or send him a text tomorrow and have him get in touch with you. How's that?
See if that makes it a little bit better.
Oh, yeah, that made it a whole lot better.
Something on here. Now, they're changing the diode in that thing. It looks like, I think, unclip it and solder right to the back of it. I didn't get a hold of Jim to let him know that that's what was wrong with it. So he didn't get a hold of it and let me know what's going on. I'm going to get back to that control. It's been a long day.
Long day, Al. But I'll see if I can. I'll shoot Tommy a text. Won't do it tonight. It's getting too late. But I'll shoot him a text in the morning and tell him to get in touch with you about that 2-meter. But other than that, I hope everything's going well with you.
Call my phone back, see if it works yet.
Number? All right, when I get off the net, I'll buzz you.
Have fun, clear. I'll be listening.
Take care, and I'll talk at you a little bit later. Enjoyed it. Do we have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS. Next up is Mr. Walt, K4OIM, over there at Lake Bowen. Walt, what have you been up to today, young man?
Simple things. Trying to stay dry, most of all. But Gary, when Al checks in, we always tell him to paint him an X and get on it, but we forget he's blind. Maybe he needs to get him some thumbtacks in. When he gets a good contact, pour some of them thumbtacks out the floor, and then when he gets ready to check in, take his shoes off and find his X.
Well, I guess that would work, Walt. But he's... Al's got a chair down there he normally sits in, and he knows just about where to hold that HT up in the air to get in real good. But every once in a while he'll get a little sleepy and he'll slide down a little bit, and then that signal goes down in the mud. But I don't believe he'd be too happy with them thumbtacks down there barefooted.
Anyway, but Gary, Avery, don't you have the FT-900 or either the 950 HF rig?
The Yaesu FT-840.
I sold my FT-450 today. This guy, I usually check into the old Miss Net on the 80 meters. And John, the net control on there, he had a FT-950. I mean, this thing's in mint condition. And he offered it to me at a real good price. So I shot him the money this morning for it. And I think I'm going to be happy with it. It ain't got all them electronic menus in that thing.
I can understand that, Walt. This is 840. It's just a little bare bones HF radio. It don't have a whole lot of menus in it. It's got more buttons and knobs on it than it does anything else, but I don't have any trouble with it. I use it to check into the sideband net. Well, I use it to talk all over the place, but I do use it try to use it most nights when I'm in here at 7 to check into the sideband net. So if you've heard me on the sideband net, that's the radio I'm talking on. But I'm not running but about 80 watts. I'm not running it wide open. It's a 100-watt transceiver, but I don't run it that high.
Check in there, but I don't know what AK's running over there. Boy, he is wide open when that guy checks in on that net.
I'm running about 5 kW.
Explain some things. But I bought this FT-221R 2-meter base station. Well, I bought it a month ago. And I had it on Sunday, and there wasn't much going on. So I just cut the volume down, and I turned that FT-450 on, and it was all contesting, but I went up on 10 meters. I could hear some people on there. I said, well, I'm going to try 6 meters, and I went up on 6 meters, and there was a few of the stations on it. And I keyed up on 6 meters on the sideband and gave a few CQs out, and nobody came back to me, but I kept hearing something click, and I knew that 450 relays wasn't that loud, so I keyed it back up, and I looked at this 2-meter base station, and when I would key up, I was keying up the 2-meter radio. So I cut the 2-meter off, and then Sunday night I went to check into the net. The thing won't transmit no more. I just wonder what I burn up in this one.
I don't have any idea, Walt. The first thing I do is put it on a meter and see what kind of output you got. You've probably done that already. But that's the first place I would start. It could be something simple. I don't know. But it's amazing what you can do like that. I have overloaded the... Well, I was kidding about the power AK runs. Yeah, he's my neighbor down here. If I could throw a rock real, real hard, I could almost get to his house. We're not, probably half a mile as far as the crow flies. But when he checks in, he's like 40 and 50 over on my radio. But, it's almost like we're next door neighbors. We're not quite that close, but he's real close to me, so he's always loud on me, whether he's running his amplifier or not. But I don't know about that transceiver of yours, that 6-meter. If you get it to working, I'm trying to think. Bobby, AJ4EN. He lives down there towards Greenwood. He doesn't live in Greenwood anymore, just outside of Greenwood in one direction or the other. But he does a whole bunch of 6-meter sideband. So you might catch him on there sometime.
6-meter went out. That was the 6-meter was on that 450. It covered 160 through 6. It's the 2-meter base station that was sitting next to it. And the a quick check, the radio I'm on now, it's sitting in the exact place, and I keyed the 450 up on 6 meters, and it didn't bother it. It was the FT-221, but it I did a meter to it. It ain't got no power output on it.
Understood. I thought you said it was the other way around. You said that when you keyed it up, you could hear the relays clicking. You might have a relay stuck over there someplace, or might be burned up. That'd be one place I'd look.
It covers had never been took off of it, and I hate to open one up, but I'll give that a try tomorrow. And I gave Barry a call a while ago about that scope. He said another guy had called him and wanted him to hold it for him, and it's been over a week, and he hadn't heard from the guy, and said he would give me a call back, and scope was mine if he can't find out nothing from the other guy.
I guess it's good and bad. If the guy, if he hears from the other guy, that's bad news. If he don't hear from him, it's good news. So I wish you a lot of luck on that. I know you're looking for one. But I just happen to think you said when you were keying up that 6-meter that you could hear the relays clicking in that 2-meter. And I'll just bet that you might have a relay gone bad in that thing. You don't normally hear those relays clicking like that unless you're keying the microphone up. And so it's got to be throwing a little or some kind of juice over there to key the relays. That'd be one thing I would start to check there, Walt. Just, you know, you heard them operating with, and you weren't transmitting on the radio, and so that could be the cause of it.
About that. But I just now turned the radio on and keyed the mic up, and the relays didn't click in it. And I've got some old stock relays back there. I may have something to fix this thing. I'll have to look into that tomorrow if it ain't too cold down here in the shack.
And that, well, it's still 60 degrees here at the house. I don't know what it'd be up there on the lake. You probably 58, 56, somewhere in that neighborhood, hopefully.
74 here in the shack, but I got the heat on down here. It is cold out there. But Gary, there's a public dock right here where 26 crosses Lake Bowen. There's a public dock out there, and I told you the other night, whenever I go by there, no matter what, there's somebody out there fishing. And today, during all the storms we had, there were 3 cars down there, 3 people out there fishing in that kind of weather.
At AOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with K4OIM, Mr. Walt up there in Inman. Well, Walt, I can't say anything. I have done a lot of fishing in the rain. I've fished in the snow. You know, the fish don't know it's raining. It don't bother them one way or the other. But these fish that really like bad weather, and when it's the weather's bad, they start feeding like crazy. And so that's not necessarily a bad time to fish, other than it's miserable for the person doing the fishing. But, you know, they're not happy with the weather, but they're happy with their catch most of the time. So there you go. You take the good with the bad, I guess. But I wouldn't doubt that a bit. You know, they people that fish and love fish a lot, they don't care what the weather is. And of course, some of these folks, I know several folks that do a lot of tournament fishing. And the tournament's going to go on whether it's raining or sunshining or whatnot. So you can't ever tell. They might have had a little tournament going on or something. But the one that blew me out of the water was that person water skiing the other day.
I believe it was, let's see, today's Wednesday. I believe it was Saturday. My daughter and I went over to Lowe's. I had to go get some boats for my riding mower. And it was raining pretty hard then. And when we crossed the lake, the bridge down there on Highway 9 that crosses Lake Bowen where they've got the park, they wouldn't know where to park a car or a truck in that whole park over there. It was packed full of vehicles with empty trailers, and that lake was full of people out there swimming, skiing, and it was raining then.
Well, I tell you, them people ain't got no sense. That water's cold this time of year. It ain't warmed up, but it ain't been warm enough for that water to get warm yet. But if they want to do it, let them go for it. I'm not going to be one to do that.
The other night and saw that bolt of lightning come out of the lake going up into the sky. There ain't no way I'd be on that water in a storm, Gary. Well, this K4OIM, I about forgot my call. Gary, I'll go ahead and say 73s. I appreciate the information you gave me on this radio about that relay. And I'll let you carry on with the net. I'm getting a little better at calling the net, and I'm still trying to remember their name and their location and all. And I sit here and listen to you on Wednesday night. You know all of that, plus their wife's name. Every one of them, you tell them to say hello to their wife and all. Boy, you must be taking them smart pills they are advertising on TV, Gary.
Control, go ahead.
Please check in KG4TXO, Sam and Gilbert.
TXO, Sam and Gilbert.
Please check me in.
We got you in the log. Thanks for being with us. Hope you're doing well. Walt, you talking about me and knowing a lot of the folks. Well, I've been sitting here on Wednesday nights. Oh gosh, let me think here. About 16 years now, something like that, 15, 16 years. So, there's a lot of folks that I remember that check in every once in a while. A lot of the new ones I don't know, I don't know yet. The KO calls and some of the KMs and KNs and some of these I don't know real well yet. But I try to go to some of the local ham fest, and that's where I've met a lot of the wives at the ham fest and that sort of thing. And, club meetings too, as far as that goes. So, I ain't been taking no smart pills. My forgetter works better every day.
What you mean? There, after the first 2 or 3 weeks, I was getting discouraged. I was embarrassed to go back and ask them to repeat their call or their name or their location. But W4DJW, he told me, he said, Walt, if they too fast, ask them to slow down and repeat. And it works. I've learned that it's a lot like learning Morse code. If you stop and think about a letter, you got the first letter, then the second letter. If you stop and think about that letter, you've done missed the whole word. And calling a net is just like that. If you think about that one letter or that one name or their QTH, you've missed his call and the next one behind them.
That way, I use pencil and paper, Walt. I don't use a computer keyboard like some of the folks do. More power to them if they can do that. I prefer to do it with pencil and paper. I don't work on a computer every day, all day, like a lot of folks do. And I do it the old-fashioned way, and that's the way I've always done it. But Walt, I'll tell you, when I first started calling the net, people didn't give their call signs phonetically like they do now. That's helped a bunch. It's also slowed them down a little bit. If you used to, people throw their call signs out so fast. I didn't have time to write them down before the next one started. But I did the same thing. I asked them to slow down just a little bit so they wouldn't have to repeat it so many times. And they're very respectful out there in radio land. They do a good job, and we appreciate all of them. If it wasn't for them out there in radio land, you and I as net controllers wouldn't have anything to do.
I'm glad I stepped up. I'm really enjoying calling the net on Tuesday night. I really do, Gary. And I get a lot of comments, and I didn't know if anybody wants to stick around for Rag Q or not. And they thought that the net controllers want to hurry up and get everybody checked in and get off the radio and go ahead about their business. But I enjoy the people sticking around after Rag Q. And then last night, after I'd turned my net report in, KN4RJN up there in Brown Summit that used to call the net on Friday night, he gave me a phone call, and he and I sat and talked on the phone for, 45 minutes to a good hour, and I really enjoyed talking to John. So, Gary, I'll let you get somebody else up on the stump here. Really enjoyed talking to you, Gary, as always. KI4DOS, K4OIM. I'll be clear on your phone, Gary.
I will tell you this, after you've been listening to the radio and calling the net for a while, I went up to the Asheville Ham Fest up here at Waynesville, up above Asheville a little ways, and Joy and I were walking through the building, and I was looking at some stuff, and I heard this gentleman talking behind me. And I turned to Joy, and I said, "That's it, W4IOE." She said, "How do you know?" I said, "You can't mistake that voice." And that's the way I met Sid. That's the first time I met him face-to-face. But once you get accustomed to listening a little bit, as soon as the people speak, you can start writing their call signs down. That's the way I do. Like I say, some of the new ones now, I've got to listen a little closer. But it is a lot of fun. It's a whole lot of fun to sit here in front of radios. And I think the longest net that I ever had was, it started at 9, and I think I closed it out about 12:15. But I don't know how many check-ins I had that night. It was a bunch, and then I had a whole bunch of rag chewers, and we just sat around. We had us a good time. But glad you're enjoying it. Thanks for stepping up and calling the net. People that don't call the net or afraid to try don't know what they're missing. It gets to be a lot of fun. In the meantime, Walt, you take care up there. Stay out of the water when it's lightning up there now. Don't want nothing to happen to you. Let me know if Barry gets in touch with you about that scope. You take care, and I'll talk at you a little bit later. Enjoyed it as always, Walt, 7-3. We have additional check-ins or additional comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS. Check-ins or any other comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS.
TXO,
I haven't talked to you in a long time. How you been doing? You okay?
I'm just hanging around Gilbert, South Carolina. Who rocks to Augusta. Yeah, we had a lot of fun down this way. I thought, well, I might slip up and see what they doing up there on the ridge.
You're making a good trip from Gilbert. I don't know what you're running down there, but you got just a little bit of white noise on you, but you're perfectly readable up here.
And I'm glad it's not too covered up with white noise. Yeah, I listen quite a bit, but I thought tonight I'll start here. I'm going to check in with you. I hope you've been doing well.
Best us, been fine so far. Can't complain about anything. And just be thankful for what we got and the good health we got and that sort of thing.
You're right. I made my rounds down this way, down Trent's machine down the Augusta by 8 o'clock. There's a net every night on it. And up there above Newbury, we just got through there 30 minutes ago or so on the 210. Russ, he has a rag shoe net on Wednesday mornings and Wednesday night. And it's pretty good crowd, just run our miles a little bit. I let you go, Gary. I'm going to jump back over here in 10 meters in a little while. Give us a call on 28350. We have a pretty good crew down here in the middle of nowhere. That's where Gilbert's at, in the middle of nowhere. So we have a good crowd on 10 meters. Take care, AG4-TXO.
Okay, buddy, I'll have to turn 10 meters on 28350 one of these days soon. What time y'all normally on there about on that frequency?
About all day. In the evenings, around 8, 9 o'clock, somewhere in 8 to 9 o'clock, and just whenever after that.
Hey, Sam, well, I'll see if I can catch y'all down there 28350 somewhere around 8 or 9 o'clock in the evenings. But you take care. Have a great day. Good hearing from you. Hope you're doing well, and stay safe and stay well.
Say hello.
Take care. Good hearing from you. And come back as often as you can. We'd love to have you. You know that. And tell all the folks down that way I said hello. Oh, Andy, WA4JJZ checks in with us every once in a while down there from the Flatlands Bacon. He used to boom in here just about every night, but He don't get in here as quite as often as he used to, but we still like to hear, to have him in, come in when he can. Sam, you come back as often as you can. Like I say, we'll say 7-3 to you for now. Take care there, young man. Good talking with you. Additional check-ins or additional comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS. About going to wrap it up. I'm going to put the net report into the computer and send it to the repeater and let it do its thing, and we'll finish closing the net out. Folks, had a grand total of 58 tonight. Good net. Appreciate each and every one of you that checked in with me tonight. Y'all come back again tomorrow night. Mr. Matt, WG4MC, will be calling, as far as I know. Give him a good dose of rider's cramp. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. But thanks for all those folks checked in with us tonight. We will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS clear.
DOS, K4OIM. One last comment, Gary.
Check this out, mate. I listened to the whole darn thing. KI4OIM.
Long net, Al, no doubt. Go ahead there, Walt.
I got an email this morning, and my daughter's trying to talk. A friend of hers is interested in ham radio, and he's worried about Morse code, and she had told him that the FCC had dropped that. Well, I was sitting in the truck with her, with my grandson today while she ran into Food Line up here. And she came back out, and I said, I want you to look at this. I got an email, said, attention, 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 from the FCC to all licensed amateur radio operators. As of tonight, 12 midnight, the FCC is reinstating all code requirements for all class amateur radio operators. After 12 midnight, all licensed amateur radio operators should report to the closest FCC field office to take the CW exam. This goes into effect tonight at 12 midnight. And she said, Daddy, I done lied to him. Why'd they do that? And I got to thinking, tonight at 12 midnight, is April the 1st.
There you go. Well, like I said, I hadn't said anything about that yet. But I haven't heard anything about that. But it would not surprise me as it coming as an April Fool's joke. As far as I know, the latest that I've read on the FCC website, they may run the cost of the license up a little bit. To $35, I think it is, but I haven't heard anything about reinstating the code. But no, they dropped the code several years ago. I had to have it when I got my license. In 2004, but they dropped it not too long after that. So we don't give the code test at our VE sessions, so tell your daughter's friend to study his questions and come up and take the test. We'd love to have him get his license and join us.
Back in 78, and I had to take the code test, and swore I'd never use it again. But man, I love CW. And my granddaughter, I told her last night, I said, come on, I'll take you over there to Greenville, and I'll even pay for you to take the test. She's doing those practice exams online, and she he's passing about 95% of them. I said, go ahead and take your practice. Go ahead. It's easier than the practice exam. I know she can get her tech license. I gave her that biofame red handheld I had, and she listens to the net at night, and I'm going to get her over there, and that friend of my daughter's that works with her, I'll end up getting him over there, Gary. So I'll let you go. This is going to be my final 7-3s, Gary, but that was a good April Fool's joke.
I would agree with that statement there, Wolf. And I don't believe the FCC would want that many folks coming into their office, you know, whether it's in Columbia, Atlanta, or wherever. You know, cause we don't have one in Greenville. So we'd have to go to Columbia or Atlanta, I guess. but that would be a mess. Excuse me. But thanks for telling me about that, Walt. And, you know, people, a lot of folks get into the hobby when they found out that they didn't have to have code to get into the hobby to get their license. And now there's more people going back to code, going back to CW, you know, new folks learning code. It's not a dead art, nowhere near. And, well, like I said, I got a grandson. He's 14 now. He can send and receive code faster than I can. But he's been doing it since he was 10. And when he'd come over, he'd say, Papa, let's go do some code. And I said, okay. And I got to where I had to tell him to slow down. So it's not a dead thing, and it's really a lot of fun once people get into it. Walt, you take care. Have a good evening, what's left of it. I'm going to go to the coffee pot. It's going on 11 o'clock. Time for my nightly cup of coffee, and then it'll be shortly thereafter time to go to bed. We'll talk at you a little bit later, Walt. Enjoy it. You take care. K4OIM, KI4DOS.
Gary, I'm going to go in here and cut me off a slice of pound cake myself. My daughter didn't bake it. It's a store-bought one, but it's good. It's 7-3, Gary.
K4OIM, KI4DOS, clear.